Today on the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast, we are talking about boundaries, how to identify them, set them, and communicate them. Hey friend, and welcome to the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast, formerly the Growth Tribe podcast, a podcast where we're all about empowering you to take back your damn life on your terms. My name's Ellen, and I'm a former science researcher turned coach. So basically, I know exactly what it's like to feel like you're living a life that's not yours, because I've been there too. Hell, sometimes I still feel like I am. I'm constantly course correcting, learning about myself, and finding new insights and tips that have helped me take back my damn life and create a life I effing love. This podcast is a place for me to share those things with you. On this podcast, you're going to learn how to get clear, confident in who you are, and get consistent and productive AF so that you feel empowered to get out of your damn head and take back your life too. Think of it like productivity, but not just for your to-do list, for your life. So with that, let's get into this episode of the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast. Hey there, and welcome back to the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast. Today, we are doing things a teeny bit different. I mean, I guess it's not going to seem that different to you guys, but we're going to be talking about boundaries. Boundaries is a huge topic. It's so freaking important. But the interesting thing about this podcast is I actually recorded this podcast over a year ago. And at the time, I was talking about some things that were kind of raw, things that hadn't been communicated to the people that I was talking about in the podcast, and it just didn't feel right to share that podcast at the time. But it came back up recently, not necessarily these situations, but this topic, this notion of boundaries. And we talked about it in my group program that's going on right now, my Take Back Your Life group program, which I'm actually going to rebrand and make some tweaks to. It's going to become a mastermind for all you badass, high achieving, high stress women out there who just need like a girl gang. You need a girl gang of people who are achieving all the things, who are working to live lives that are they're really fucking proud of. You need a girl gang to support you in that. And that's kind of what I'm going to tweak the group program into. And I'm really, really excited for that. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, if you are interested in it, you should go to coachellyn.com/course and check it out. And that's E-L-L-Y-N. Y'all know. But it now really very much feels like the time to share it. The time to really give you all of the juicy, wonderful, awesome content in here. If you are somebody who does feel like they need support in this you're going to learn my 4 steps for identifying and establishing your boundaries, and you're going to get some really, really tangible examples for small ways that people might be overstepping your boundaries, but that might really be, for lack of a better way to say it, pissing you off. So let's dive in to that old podcast episode. Let's do it. If you listen to Keisha's episode at the very, very beginning of 2019, I think it was the first episode I released in 2019, like January 8th or January 9th, I'll put whatever episode number it was in the show notes. But if you listen to that episode, one of my favorite conversations that came out of it, or my favorite comment actually, was her talking about, you know, support, and that you have to sometimes communicate to the people in your life what support looks like. And lately, with, you know, this month's academy being on boundaries, I've realized that that exact same thing applies when it comes to boundaries. So if you in your life right now are feeling like people are taking advantage of you, maybe it's at work, maybe it's in your relationships, maybe it's in your friendships, then this episode is for you. And in today's episode, I'm going to give you a couple examples of some of the places in my life where I didn't set boundaries, and that ultimately I realized that I needed to A, figure out what my boundaries were, and B, articulate those boundaries to the people that I felt were taking advantage of me. So with that, let's get into it. A big part of what inspired, you know, this movement of boundaries and inspired me to have this conversation was I recently read a book in preparation for this month's academy called Not Nice. How's that for a title? Like, it was basically a book about how we're all too damn nice, and that niceness leads to a lack of boundaries and leads to us basically allowing people to take advantage of our kindness. And damn, did this book like, A, it was a beast. It was a long, long book. But this book painted a very, very, you know, profound picture of some of the situations that the author had put himself in. And I saw so much of myself reflected in those situations, because I will be the first to say that I have a tendency to be a little bit too nice. Like, I am very accommodating to people. Yes, I will, like anybody, when I'm feeling like really, really wrong, to put my sassy pants on and like stand up for myself. But the vast majority of the time, if people wrong me, I'm quick to say it's okay. I'm quick to bury the situation and the feelings of feeling wronged, and not necessarily communicate with those with whoever wronged me, purely because I don't want to upset them. You know, I'll give you some examples here. You know, so for example, when I left graduate school, I left graduate school in the fall of 2016. So I have no idea when you're listening to this, but as I record this, it was about 2.5 years ago. And about a year after that, I moved home. I moved back in with my parents because I was going to be traveling the world for a year in 2018. So I didn't want to, you know, sign a lease or anything. So I moved back in with mom and dad. And, you know, I was fully aware of the fact that my parents would have greatly, you know, appreciated and approved of me staying in graduate school and finishing my program. They would have, you know, much preferred me to do that and follow that route and get, you know, a typical, you know, 9-to-5 lab job, which, let's be honest, anybody who's in science knows that lab jobs are never 9-to-5. But they would have much preferred me doing that, some sort of normal, more structured position where I was getting a salary, I was getting benefits, I was getting a 401k. But instead, I started working in essentially my first freelancing and contracting position, doing science editing. And there were a lot of instances in the few months after I moved home where, even though I was working my ass off and I was making like 3 times the money I'd ever made as a research technician doing research in academia, even though I felt like I was being successful and outwardly I was doing all the things that meant I was a hard worker and I was like a good professional, there were still times when my parents said, "When are you going to get a real job?" And that pissed me off. But, you know, I was living in their house. I was fully aware that I was taking a lot of risks that they didn't approve of. And even though I knew what they meant by the comment real job, like in their minds it meant traditional job, it still pissed me off, because ultimately what they were saying, no matter what, you know, their implication was or what their actual intention was, what they were saying is the work you're doing is not a real job. You know, it didn't matter if the intention was you're just not doing a professional or a traditional job and we just don't understand it. It didn't matter that that was the intention. Ultimately, they were saying you're not doing a real job. You're not doing real work. And that pissed me off, but I didn't say anything about it. And then not too long ago, actually, I was having a conversation with my parents, you know, now fast forward to, instead of fall 2017, you know, winter 2019, I've just gotten home from remote year. And my parents and I were having a conversation one night at dinner over, you know, what's the next step? What's the game plan? You know, they, and for them, and so many of our parents, they just want to know that I'm thinking about these things, that I have a plan, that I have some notion of what I'm going to do, because they want me to feel safe. Like, I completely understand that's the perspective that they're coming from. But in the context of them asking me this plan, my dad said something along the lines of, "I know you don't like when we say, you know, to get a real job." And I nodded. I was like, "No, I do not like when you say that." And he, you know, for the first time in a year and a half, clarified, "Well, when we say that, we don't necessarily mean real job, and I understand why that would frustrate you. We mean," and then my mom says, "traditional job." Like, my dad couldn't even think of what he actually meant until my mom goes, "Traditional job." And he's like, yeah, traditional job. We, like, obviously we understand traditional jobs better, and we would much prefer that you get a traditional job. And so we talked a little bit more, and ultimately I articulated to them, and I'm like, "Just so you understand, and you probably do, but I want to reiterate it from my opinion, this offended me, because even though essentially exactly what I said to you, like just now on the podcast, I said to them, you know, even though I know you meant traditional job, to me that was saying that even though I'm working my ass off here And even though I'm making more money just because I don't have benefits and a 401k, you think the work I'm doing isn't real. And that offended me. So that's an example right there of, you know, I experienced a situation that sent off all sorts of red flags, all sorts of insecurity, all sorts of anger in my head about the things that were being said to me and the way I was being treated. That's exhibit A. If you're not sure where your boundaries are, if somebody says something to you or treats you in a certain way that triggers all of this emotion in you, that's a good indication that that's where your boundary is. So that's step one, is pay attention to those feelings. Pay attention to those frustrations as you feel them. Maybe you won't know right away what exactly the boundary is, but ultimately it will, you know, signal to you that this is a place where you need to establish a better boundary. So for me, those feelings of anger, those feelings of frustration showed me, I have a boundary here and I need to be better about figuring out what that boundary is. And scary part, articulating that boundary to the people in my life. So that's really step one. Step one is paying attention to those feelings of anger and frustration, because those tell you where you need to set boundaries. But step two is ultimately digging in and figuring out what those boundaries are. You know, if it's something that's come up a lot, start paying attention to the pattern. Start paying attention to the things that people are saying that are triggering you and making you feel, you know, taken advantage of or frustrated or disrespected. Disrespected is huge, you guys. So pay attention to what those things are. And as you pay attention to those patterns, you'll start to pick up on the fact. Like for me, I started to pick up on the fact that the things that are really, really pissing me off, making me feel disrespected, you know, making me feel taken advantage of, it's comments around, you know, whether or not my work is valuable, worthy, or considered real work. Anytime there's an implication of that, that's where I feel disrespected and frustrated. So that showed me it's the comments about the work I do that are frustrating me. And you know, there might be some of you here thinking, well, I should just not let these comments, you know, get to me. I should just have a thicker skin. You know what? That's a really, really good point. And when it comes to people saying, people who, you know, aren't influential people in your life and people who, frankly, you don't care about their opinion and they're just, you know, acquaintances in your life, if those are the people that are making the comments, hell yeah. Like, just don't hang out with those people. Just let the shit they say roll off your back, because their opinion shouldn't matter to you. But sometimes the people that are saying these things are people who are our family. They are our close friends. They are the people whose opinions we value and who matter to us and that we love. And it's a lot harder for us to be like, well, I should just ignore what they say, because you're not going to. I think that's unrealistic to say that you're not going to take these comments, you know, at face value. You're not going to let them influence you. So the person who's saying it is also really important. But so that's step one, pay attention to the feelings you feel. And step two is really look for the patterns and figure out the things that are triggering you. And then step three is to figure out what your boundary is. What do you ultimately want from these people when it comes to, you know, setting that boundary? Do you want them to, I mean, maybe you say, well, I want them to respect the work I do. In all honesty, they may not. You know, they may not respect the work that you do. They may not understand the work that you do. They may not be interested in the work that you do. And you have to get to the point where you understand that and you don't necessarily expect that. So for me, what I ultimately had to realize is that I don't necessarily care if they understand it. But when they're talking to me about my work, I ask that they respect it. I ask that they don't say things like, you're not doing real work to me. And that was ultimately the conversation I had to have with my parents to set that boundary, is to say, hey, this language offends me, and it offends me for these reasons. This is how it makes me feel, and I would appreciate it if you didn't use that language. They're uncomfortable conversations to have. Like, literally, guys, it took me a year and a half to have this conversation with my parents. Granted, I was out of the country for a year of that year and a half. But even if you take that year out, it took me 6 months to build up to having this conversation. And it was something that, to get to the point where I could have it, I had to feel like I had a lot of social support from the women in my mastermind, from my really good friends, from my therapist. So it took me a while to build up to having this conversation. So I guess that's really four steps. Step one is to listen to the emotions that you're feeling to indicate to you where your boundary might need to be set. Step two is to look for the patterns in the interactions that are really, really triggering you so you can find out specifically what's the thing that is triggering this reaction and the specific language or situation in which you feel you need to establish a boundary. Step three is to figure out what that boundary is for you. And step four, it's to communicate that boundary with, you know, the common offenders, with the people who are really, really guilty of overstepping this boundary. To really hammer this point home, I want to give one more example. So lately in my life, you know, from a lot of different perspectives and in a lot of different situations, I felt like my time wasn't being respected. You know, whether it was friends who were making plans and then canceling them, or clients who scheduled appointments and then canceled them, you know, a few hours before the appointment. Family who they know I work at home, they know I have a lot of flexibility and freedom, so they just assume that I can drive them places or that I can be home to, you know, take care of XYZ for them. Lately, I've just kind of felt like there are people and situations that keep coming up that feel like a disrespect of my time. Because ultimately, and I understand that for a lot of people, they don't get self-employed life. They don't get, you know, the fact that I'm a coach and what goes into that and the kind of work that I have to do. But frankly, I have more work than I can fit into my life half the time. And just because that work doesn't seem urgent to someone else doesn't mean that it's urgent in the context of my business. And lately, what's been happening is there's just been a lot of, you know, last minute cancellations, last minute rescheduling, you know, people are just assuming, well, you can be here at this time, right? Because you work at home. And it's been frustrating to me. And I've talked to my therapist a lot about this. I've talked to my parents about this. I've talked to some friends about this too. And it's basically me having the realization that I was having a boundary violated here. But it was also a boundary that A, I didn't even realize I had until recently, and also a boundary that I had never communicated to anybody. I'd never told anybody, hey, when you cancel things at the last minute, it makes me feel like you don't respect my time and it impacts my business in XYZ ways, because I frankly didn't even realize it. So, you know, after like a couple months of this happening, I started to, you know, notice that I knew that the emotion was there. I didn't necessarily know why, but I started to realize that the pattern was, it was cancellations, it was people rescheduling, you know, it was, and obviously we have to reschedule sometimes for emergency reasons. Like, I was going to hang out with my friend in the middle of Seattle snowpocalypse, and we both were just like, yeah, maybe not. Let's reschedule this so nobody has to drive anywhere. But it was a lot of instances of that coming up. So I sat down and with some help from my therapist, some of my really good friends, some of the wonderful ladies in my masterminds, I was able to realize that, you know, this is how I felt like it was affecting me. This is, you know, what, you know, a lack of respect for my time is how it was making me feel, even if it wasn't the intention of the people that were doing it. This is how it made me feel. And I had to understand that. And then I had to also think about, okay, what am I asking for from the people in my life? And I realized that I was essentially asking them, you know, I want them to ask me when we need to reschedule something, you know, instead of assuming that where it fits into their schedule is going to fit into mine. I would like them to not cancel things, you know, a few hours before they happen, especially, and again, I know that sometimes shit comes up, but especially if it's something that they obviously knew about ahead of time and didn't think to communicate to me. You know, I want them to respect the fact that something in my calendar, or at least just to understand the fact that something in my calendar, which I schedule everything in my calendar, if you guys don't know, I'm OCD organized, something in my calendar that's marked as busy, you know, if it's me just doing a video call or if it's me physically going somewhere and meeting up with a friend, if there's something in my calendar, that means based on, you know, my scheduling systems and how my business works, that that's time away from me being able to work with clients, me being able to connect with new prospects, me being able to schedule podcast interviews, to be able to serve you guys. And if I didn't articulate any of these things to them, how could they know that the thing that they were doing was a problem, that it was upsetting me? And this is the thing, you guys. If we don't articulate these things, these boundaries that people are overstepping without even knowing they're overstepping them, they turn into resentment. You know, I experienced that with my parents. You know, I grew to be very, very grumpy about anything related to talking to them about my business. Because in my head, all I was hearing, well, they don't think it's a real job. They don't think it's a real job. You know, I was starting to get to the point where I was experiencing resentment with some of my friends because I wasn't articulating to them, hey, this is the impact of when we cancel things last minute for me. And this is how it makes me feel when you don't take my schedule and my commitments into consideration. You know, I was starting to resent them and feel like they didn't care about the friendship as much as I did. And you know what? None of these things that I was thinking, these things that I was feeling are true. You know, my parents do know that the work I do is real work. Like, they've seen how much I work on my coaching business. They've read the testimonials of the clients that have worked with me. They know I'm making an impact. They don't think what I do is not real work. They just think it's not traditional. So as soon as we had that conversation, we are able to clear the air about that whole situation, you know, with my friends, with my clients. Like, if I didn't articulate these things, that resentment that I was feeling would start to bleed over into our friendship. It would make me less present in the conversations we had. It would mean that I carry animosity toward these people who have probably nothing but love for me, but they just don't realize they are overstepping my boundary. So we have to bring these things up because otherwise we harbor resentment. And we don't want that in our relationships, right? We don't want our relationships to come from a place of resentment and animosity, especially if it's something that we can rectify by simply communicating. And I understand, you guys, I've said already in this, I am an exceptionally non-confrontational person. I know how uncomfortable these conversations can be. But I've realized, and I've been having so many conversations with my therapist about it, I can't even tell you. I've realized that if we don't articulate what these things look like, they never change. We can't expect people to be mind readers. And I'm talking to myself as I say this because so often in romantic relationships, in friendships, it's like I expect people to be because they know me so well that I assume that they know that something's bothering me and that they'll ask if they care. How many of us say that? Oh, well, if they care about me, they'll ask me what's wrong. They'll notice something's wrong and they'll ask. Well, you know what? People are dealing with their own shit too. You know, they're probably not going to ask because maybe there's a boundary that you've overstepped that they're trying to figure out how to address too. Like, other people care about their shit more than they care about yours half the time, right? So if we want to cultivate the best relationships for us, if we want to set the best boundaries for us, we need to, you know, take these few steps. And I understand they're hard and I understand they're uncomfortable, but we have to dig into the emotions that we're feeling when our boundary's been overstepped. Pay attention to the frustration we might feel, you know, the aggravation we might feel. We need to pay attention to those feelings. Step one, we need to figure out where those feelings come from. Step two, you know, what are the patterns that are contributing to this feeling? Because that tells you where your boundary needs to be set. Step three, we need to figure out what the boundary actually is, what we actually want in these situations. And step four, we need to communicate those boundaries. I understand how difficult that last step can be. You know, steps one through three can be really fucking easy, right? But it's step four that's often the sticking point. And I get it. Like, I don't like bringing up these uncomfortable things. But if you want to have the best relationships, we've got to do step four too. We've got to bring them up. Because if we don't ask for people to respect our boundaries, tell them what those boundaries are, and the things that make you feel like those boundaries aren't being respected, your boundaries are just going to keep being overstepped. And you're going to keep harboring that animosity and that resentment, right? So it's super, super important that we follow through with step four. If you need any additional help with how to manage boundaries, how to identify them, you know, maybe some of the places in your life where you need to set better boundaries, but you think it's just okay because it's kind of your normal operating procedure, please, please, please head to coachellen.com/growth-tribe and sign up for this month's content in the Growth Tribe. If anything, if you're struggling with boundaries, if today's, you know, topic has resonated with you, if you've experienced stuff like this, we're going to dig into exactly this and how boundaries or a lack of boundaries show up in our friendships, in our personal lives, with our family, and at work. Those are probably the four most common places in which, you know, boundaries, we struggle to set boundaries. Oh, and in our time. That's a big one too. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff, and we already are in the context of the Growth Tribe Academy in this month's content. So if that resonated with you, please, please go to coachellen.com/growth-tribe to check that out. If you want a little bit more information, or you have very, very specific personal situations you want to dig into, go to coachellen.com/transform and let's set up a chat. Let's set up a conversation, no strings, no obligation, and let's figure out what are the best resources for you. I read like a bajillion books on boundaries in preparation for this month's Growth Tribe Academy. Maybe one of those is going to be exactly what you need to help you out. So if that sounds great to you, head to coachellen.com/transform and let's get that scheduled. I hope you guys enjoyed today's topic. I know some of the solo episodes lately have been a little heavy, but these have been topics and things that have come up in my life repeatedly over the last few months. And it just feels like a sign to me that it's something that we need to address. So I wanted to make sure I addressed it in my favorite place to address stuff like this. And I hope it resonated with you, and I hope it meant something with you. With that, I will talk to you all next week, and have a great weekend. Bye. But before you go, one last thing. If you enjoyed the hell out of this episode, there's a couple things you could do. Podcasts grow and thrive because of you, the listener. You help me and my guests spread this message of taking back your damn life. And so I would appreciate it if you would share this episode. Maybe you have a friend that you think absolutely would love it. You could also rate the podcast, submit a review, or just share a screenshot on your Instagram story so that I can shout you out and send you a huge thank you. Otherwise, that's really it for now. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, friend, go take back your damn life.